Are you thinking enough about your personal hydration status? Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today I want to encourage you to think about your personal hydration status, not just that of your patients. A lot has happened over the last couple of years, but one thing that the various lockdowns we went through did for me was push me towards a number of interesting YouTube channels that focus on various niche topics that traditional television does not cover, or if they do so infrequently. So ever since March of 2020, I've enjoyed watching experts and passionate amateurs talking and teaching on a whole range of topics, from specialty coffee to cat behaviour, from aviation to engineering, from space rockets and astronomy to card magic and puzzles. The problem, though, that you must be aware of is the danger of the YouTube rabbit hole. This is when you get recommended something that is interesting based on the thing you are currently watching, and so on and so on. While there is potential for this to lead to you wasting a lot of time, it can introduce you to a totally new topic that you did not know exist. So, as a result of watching coverage of strongman events, owing to a former World's Strongest Man participating in an eating competition, I learned about the sport of competitive eating, which is something to behold, I can tell you. And so it was part of one of these YouTube rabbit holes that I found myself watching a short video recently by a Welsh Olympic taekwondo athlete who was talking about their training diet. They made the comment that hydration is important for athletes and that being ever so slightly dehydrated can result in a significant drop in performance. This made me stop and think. If athletic performance is affected by dehydration, could this affect performance in other spheres, like in our work? You'll be aware of the difficulty in keeping up your fluid intake during a shift. It's a comment I have heard often about how people realise that they have not stopped for a bathroom break throughout their entire 12-hour shift. As house officers, you would be carefully monitoring your patient's urine output on an hourly basis, casually forgetting your own oliguria. And the pandemic has affected things further. Wearing a mask and PPE makes drinking less straightforward, and I'm sure you've all felt like you were wearing a sauna suit when dressed up in full PPE during the peak of summer. Pre-pandemic, I always kept a cup of tea on the go in the doctor's office, as I need to maintain my circulating volume with its required 80% English breakfast tea, but since March 2020, I've stopped bringing my tea mug out of the break room, and as a result, my clinical shifts are now undertaken with a near critical level of atemia. So I thought I would look to see if there were any studies that looked at this area, and I found something very interesting. In 2016, the journal Clinical Nutrition published a paper called Hydration Amongst Nurses and Doctors on Call, open brackets, hands-on prospective cohort study, by Ahmed Al-Sharkawi et al. They were looking to study the prevalence of dehydration in on-call doctors and nurses at the start and end of their shifts, and to look at the relation between hydration state and cognitive function. I've linked in the show notes to the abstract for you all to check it out. They reported 35% of participants were dehydrated at the start of the shift and 45% at the end. 41% were oliguric at the end of the shift. And short-term memory tests were significantly impaired in the dehydrated participants. Now this was eye-opening, and I think we should all reflect on how we maintain hydration at work. We will advise our patients on the importance of hydration on a daily basis, all the while many of us are ignoring our own health. There are many self-care items we need to consider, like taking breaks and ensuring we eat during our shifts, but we must not forget that fluids are needed throughout the shift, and we need to find ways to ensure we can safely stay hydrated despite wearing PPE. So have a look at the paper I mentioned, and perhaps this is a good topic for you all to discuss at your next peer review group meeting. If you have any comments, questions, corrections or suggestions, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. We'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening.